I'm glad to be here just to make this trip. And 6,000 miles and three generations. But I'm proud to be here, and I appreciate the warm welcome you've given to all of us. When my great-grandfather left here to become a cooper in East Boston, he carried nothing with him except two things: a strong religious faith and a strong desire for liberty. And I'm glad to say, that all of his great-grandchildren have valued that inheritance. About 50 years ago, an Irishman from New Ross traveled down to Washington with his family, and in order to tell his neighbors how well he was doing, he had his picture taken in front of the White House and said, this is our summer home. Come and see us. Well, it's our home also in the winter, and I hope you will come and see us. Seems to me that in these dangerous days, when the struggle for freedom is worldwide against an armed doctrine, that Ireland and its experience has one special significance. And that is that the people's fight, which John Boyle O'Reilly said outlived 1,000 years, that it was possible for a people over hundreds of years of foreign domination, it was possible for that people to maintain their national identity and their strong faith. And therefore, those who may feel that in these difficult times, who may believe that freedom may be on the run, or that some nations may be permanently subjugated and eventually wiped out, would do well to remember Ireland. And I'm proud to come here for another reason, because it makes me even prouder of my own country. My country welcomed so many sons and daughters of so many countries, Irish and Scandinavian and Germans, Italian and all the rest, and gave them a fair chance and a fair opportunity. The Speaker of the House of Representatives is Irish of descent. Leader of the Senate is of Irish descent. And what is true of the Irish has been true of dozens of other people. In Ireland, I think you see something of what is so great about the United States. And I must say that in the United States, through millions of your sons and daughters and cousins, 25 million, in fact, you see something of what is great about Ireland. Most countries send out oil or iron, steel or gold, or some other crop, but Ireland has had only one export, and that's been people. They've gone all over the United States, and the United States has been generous to them. And I think it not unfair to say that they've been generous themselves and with their sons and daughters to the United States. What pleases me most about coming here is not only this connection, which all of us in America feel with Ireland, even though time and generations may have separated us from this island, but also because I find here in Ireland those qualities which I associate with the best, not only of my own country, but of all that we're trying to do and all that we're trying to be. The world is a small place today, and it is, it seems to me, important that we recognize the kinship which exists between all free people. We are in a most climactic period in the most difficult and dangerous struggle in the history of the world, in the most difficult and dangerous weapons which have ever been devised, which could annihilate the human race in a few hours. So I think it is important that those of us who happen to be Irish descent who come to Ireland recognize an even stronger bond which exists between Ireland and the United States, between Europe and the United States, between Latin America and the United States, between people of Africa and people of Asia, between all people who wish to be free. That is the most important association, the most important kinship. And I come to this island, which has been identified with that effort for 1,000 years, which was the first country in the 20th century to lead what is the most powerful tide of the 20th century, the desire for national independence, the desire to be free. And I come here in 1963 and find that strong tide still beats, still runs. And I drive from where we arrived to here and am greeted by an honor guard on the way down, and nearly half of whom wear the blue ribbon, which indicates service in the Congo. So Ireland is still old Ireland, but it's found a new mission in the 1960s. And that is to lead the free world, to join with other countries of the free world, to do in the 60s what Ireland did in the early part of this century, and indeed has done for the last 800 years. And that is associate intimately with independence and freedom.
Mr. Mayor, I want to say how pleased I am to have this association with these two great universities. I am now feel equally part of both. And if they ever have a game of Gaelic football or hurling, I shall cheer for Trinity and pray for National. It is appropriate to have this opportunity to form this association because Ireland and education have been synonymous for nearly 2,000 years. For so many hundreds of years, this country had colleges and universities of 2,000, 3,000, and 4,000 students in the darkest ages of Europe, which served as the core, as the foundation for what became the Enlightenment and the religious revival of Europe. This country was wise enough to see in days that were past that when it finally became independent, that it would need educated men and women. Democracy is a difficult kind of government. It requires the highest qualities of self-discipline, restraint, a willingness to make commitments and sacrifices for the general interest. And also it requires knowledge. My own country, in its earliest days, put the greatest emphasis on the development of education for her citizens. In the Northwest Ordinance, which was drafted by Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, it was provided that a section of land would be set aside in every 30 sections in order to educate the people. Thomas Jefferson once said, if you expect the people to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and never will be. And in the heights of the Civil War, when the outcome was most uncertain and the results in doubt, the United States Congress, under the leadership of Abraham Lincoln, passed the Morrill Act, which established our land-grant colleges and which set aside the public land in every state in order to maintain a state college and state university. And we have just recently celebrated the 100th anniversary, and we now have in every one of our states universities which have educated our sons and daughters and helped make it possible to maintain self-government. So education, these two great schools, the city of Dublin, the country of Ireland, the future of the West, all are closely intertwined. And I can assure you that there are no honors that you could give me as the President of the United States than to have received the three distinctions which I hold today and shall always value.
I don't know what it is about you that causes me to think that nearly everybody in Boston comes from Galway. They're not shy about it at all. I want to express, as we're about to leave here, to tell you this country how much this visit has meant. It is strange that so many years could pass and so many generations pass, and still some of us who came on this trip could come home and here to Ireland and feel ourselves at home, and not feel ourselves in a strange country, but feel ourselves among neighbors, even though we're separated by generations, by time, and by thousands of miles. So you have made all of us. You send us home covered with gifts, which we can barely carry, but most of all, you send us home with the warmest memories of you and of your country. So I must say that though other days may not be so bright as we look towards the future, that the brightest days will continue to be those in which we visited you here in Ireland. If you ever come, to America, come to Washington, and I tell them, if they wonder who you are at the gate, that you come from Galway. The word will be out, and when you do, it'll be Caith Mila Falchi, which means in Gaelic 100,000 welcomes.
I wonder, before I go, if I could find out how many citizens here have relations in the United States. Well, I'll tell you that they've been among the best citizens, and they behave themselves very well. And, you'd be proud of them. And they're proud of you. Even though a good many years have passed since most of them left, they still remain and retain the strongest sentiments of affection for this country. And I hope that this visit that we've been able to make on this occasion has reminded them not only of their past, but also that here in Ireland, the words freedom, the words independence, the whole sentiment of a nation is perhaps stronger than it is almost any place in the world. I don't think that I've passed through a more impressive ceremony than the one I experienced in Dublin when I went with the Prime Minister to put a wreath on the graves of the men who died in 1916. I carry with me as I go the warmest sentiments of appreciation to all of you. This is a great country with a great people. And I know that when I'm back in Washington, that I can, while I not see you, I will see you in my mind and feel all of your good wishes, as we all will in our hearts. Last night, somebody sang a song which says, the words of which I'm sure you know, which come back to Erin, Mavourneen, Mavourneen, come back, Aroon, to the land of thy birth. Come with the shamrock in the springtime, Mavourneen. This is not the land of my birth, but it's the land for which I hold the greatest affection. And I certainly will come back in the springtime. Thank you.
This is where we all say goodbye. I want to express our greatest thanks to the president of your country, your great president,
to your Prime Minister, and to all the members of the government, and especially to all the people of Ireland who have taken us in. Ireland is an unusual place. What happened 500 or 1,000 years ago is yesterday, where we are on the other side of the Atlantic, 3,000 miles away. We are next door. Well, there may be those removed by two or three generations from Ireland. They may have left 100 years ago, their people. And yet, when I ask how many people may have relatives in America, nearly everybody holds up their hand. So Ireland is a very special place. It has fulfilled, in the past, a very special role. It is, in a very real sense, the mother of a great many people, a great many millions of people, and in a sense, a great many nations. And what gives me the greatest satisfaction and pride in being of Irish descent is the realization that even today, this very small island still sends thousands, literally thousands, of its sons and daughters to the ends of the globe to carry on an historic task which Ireland assumed 1,400 or 1,500 years ago. So this has been really the high point of our trip. Last night, I sat next to the wife of your president, so I told her I was coming to Shannon, and she immediately quoted this poem, and I wrote down the words because I thought they're beautiful. "'Tis it is the Shannon's brightly glancing stream, brightly gleaming, silent in the morning beam, oh, the sight entrancing. Thus returned from travels long, years of exile, years of pain, to see old Shannon's face again, oh, the waters glancing." Well, I'm going to come back and see old Shannon's face again. And I'm taking, as I go back to America, all of you with me.